Well, good morning, everyone. How are we on this Sunday morning? Trust you're feeling fine. It is a little warm, a little. Some might think it's not warm at all. Some may be putting on sweaters before the end of the day. Who knows? I was thinking, someone made mention to me a couple of weeks ago that when we had our 140th anniversary, that we have to start planning for next year because it's 50 years for the opening of this building. It's been 50 years since the building opened. We've lost our air conditioning. I don't know if you can tell that or not, but we're working on it. We're working on with the company to get a new unit installed. It's taken some time. Of course, the realization is for most people is when we got this heat wave, a lot of folks turned on their air conditioning units and they didn't work. So now they're out there busy trying to restore other air conditioning units, and we're on a list as to when that will be done. But anyways, 50 years next year, and they're telling me that this unit is 35 years old. So that means for those of you who were around 50 years ago, there was at least 15 years in this building you had no air conditioning. Right? So we're getting back to that time when there's no air conditioning in the building. But we're trying to circulate some air. If the heat continues, then we may have to look just moving down to the gymnasium for some of our services because that wing of the building does have air conditioning. It's working down there. It's just not working up on this end of the building. But with that being said, people pay good money to drive to Florida, to fly to Florida, to sit on a beach on a hot sunny day. Just envision you're in Florida this morning, you're sitting at the beach as we have our service together this morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. I see some visitors with us this morning. It's good to see you. We do have a special day in store for enrollment of soldiers here at the Corps today, and we thank God and praise God for that, a great opportunity when we come together and gather as we do. I want to share with you from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49, and it says, "This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, 'Come out,' and to those in darkness, 'Be free.' They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun bear down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." That's a great section of scripture this morning of encouragement, that as we gather together this morning in worship, we're going to break forth in song. We're going to be joyous in our celebration. We're going to acknowledge that he is Lord and that we are his people. So let's stand together. We're going to sing a couple choruses. "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his court with praise." Another chorus I'd like for us to sing, come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise and give him praise. Your voices raise. Your voices raise. Give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus, the name above all names. Let's sing it together. Come into his presence. Stand as we continue to sing in our opening song. The band will sit, and it says, down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow, everywhere he leads me. There is no place where God is not. God is where we are. Know that this morning. Know that God is where we are. God is with us in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our purpose, in our places. Wherever we are, he is there. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Let's sing the first two verses together, please. Says, down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior, would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow. We'll sing the chorus twice through at the end. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Where are you this morning? Some would be smart and say we're in the house of the Lord, but where are we this morning in our relationship with Jesus? Where are we this morning in our emotional, spiritual, physical journey? How's this week been for you? Has it been a week of blessing? Has it been a week of challenge? Have there been moments when we've been on the mountain? Have there been moments when we've been in the valley? Are there moments when we've relied on our own strength and realized we failed? Are there moments when we've realized and relied upon the strength of God and we've been successful because of the Lord's strength? Well, this chorus this morning reminds us that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He will work in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. He will hold me closely to His side with love and strength for each new day. God, He will make a way. I want us to refer this morning to our bulletin, to the front cover of our bulletin. I want to acknowledge the needs that are before us today for Alton and Carol White, for Dave Boone. I just want to give an update on Dave. You may not be aware, but Dave has now moved down to Welland, to the hospital in Welland, where he's receiving more care with a physio soon and with his dialysis. He would love to see you, but be mindful that there are visitation hours that are strictly enforced at the hospital. So from 11:30 to 2, and then from 4:30 to 6:30, that's about right. Those hours are not visitation hours, but other than that, he would love to see folks coming and visiting with him. Continue to pray for Emily as she needs our prayers in these days. For Kevin and his family. For Nolan, and we just thank God for what God is doing in his life. For Jeff Page, for Amy Puckering, for Joan and Paul Scott. For John Goodger and for Martin, for Alan Taylor, and for Roxina Hayden. So as we reflect and remember these folks in prayer, I'm sure there are other needs and prayer requests that we can bring before the Lord. Let's sing together, God Will Make a Way.
God will make a way.
Father in heaven, we come into your presence this morning as a people knowing that you are a God who hears and answers prayer. We thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you for the power of your word that reminds us to be a people of prayer, to bring our petitions before the Lord, to acknowledge our needs before you today. And so, God, we ask that this morning, as we gather together in this place of worship, that you will fill us, Lord, today with a sense of awe, that you will fill us this morning with the knowledge of knowing that, God, you're with us. You're with us in the times of joy. You're with us in the times of sorrow. You're with us when we laugh. You're with us when we cry. Lord, you're with us when we feel well. You're with us when we hurt. We thank you, Father, because we know that you are a God who sustains us and keeps us, that you are a God who lifts us up. And Father, we pray that this morning, that as we come as a people who have needs. Some needs are greater than others. There are those of our families and of our friends who are struggling, who are fighting today, who are fighting against diseases of the body. We pray for healing, O God, today. We pray for strength today. We pray for comfort today. God, there are those today who are just struggling with life in general. We ask, O God, that as they search, as they seek, that they will find in you, Lord, what they need. So often we look to the world, we look to the things of the world. The scripture reminds us that so many times, so many people, even through scriptures, look to themselves, look to other things, look to other idols, and there we realize they failed and they lost favor with God. So Father, I pray that for us this morning, that we will keep our eyes fixed on you, that our eyes will be upon Jesus. God, just bless your people this morning. Lord, we pray for a great service. We pray for a great pouring of your Spirit. We pray, oh God, that your presence will be felt, that we will get strength from you, and that, Father, as we go out into this week, for whatever we face, God, we go with confidence of knowing that Jesus is by our side. Lord, just bless us this morning. Bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This morning, it's the morning of celebration because we are going to see an enrollment later on and that will be focused. But if you looked inside your bulletin this morning, Katrina, many of us have met. She works a lot of weekends, so we don't see her here very often. But Major Don's daughter, Katrina, graduated and got her BA and whatever this week. So we're happy to see that. But then we had a high school graduation this week as well, in that Sienna finished high school this week. So as I say, it's a week of celebrations. But then I also found out that Etka has become a Canadian citizen this week. So we're proud of that as well. So it really is. We have been celebrating for weeks now. We had an anniversary, we had a Father's Day, and now all of these celebrations today. Then we get back to our schedule, which is not happening. It's summer, so the bands are no longer rehearsing on Thursday nights, but walk aerobics continues. Now, if you're part of it or interested in being part of it, the gym is air conditioned. It's only 5 years old, so it's air conditioned and it still works. If you've read, you will see that Rose is away on vacation this week, and partway through, Major Don's going on vacation for a week. So next week, we have Major Grace taking the service. Friday, our picnics begin. This week, for the start, it's at Burgoyne Woods here in St. Catharines. If you're interested, it's 6 o'clock. Bring your meal with you and your lawn chair. There are picnic tables there, but it's nice after you've eaten sometimes just to sit around for conversation and fellowship. And one more congratulations, because I've written it down at the end because I suddenly thought, oh, I can't forget this one. Did you see in the band this morning? We've had a promotion there too. 2 weeks ago, he played with the YP band, but But today, Fitz is here. We just keep growing. It's wonderful. And now we will take up our tithes and offering. And I've lost Linda, who's sitting down, but she's always ready. Let us just pray. Lord, thank you this morning that we've come, and as we give to you our gifts of tithes and offering, we ask that it be used for your kingdom, for we ask it in your name. Amen.
It's hard to say. With you mentioned of Katrina, there are times I don't know what she graduated from. Devin's been graduated from his degree for 4 years, and people still ask me what he does, and I have no idea. I have no idea. For Katrina, it's a Bachelor of Arts in Social Work, and thankfully, you know, the Lord has blessed our children right from schooling right to jobs. And Katrina graduated, and she had a job waiting for her, and she's now working full-time at her new position. So it's great to know. I want to acknowledge this headset this morning. This is a new headset, and this is the first opportunity that we've had to use it. We've had it for a couple of weeks, but I was a little selfish, and I said, no, I want to be the first one to use it. So we had it when the commissioner was here a few weeks ago. We said, should the commissioner use it? I said, no. No, it's going to be me. I'm going to be the first one to use this headset, so I'm using it this morning. And at least then I can move from left to right, and the voices won't be muffled. Well, today there are many special events going on, and in just a couple of moments we're going to have a ceremony of enrolling an inherent and also two soldiers. But I want Sienna to come up first of all. We're going to get you to come up here. And Sienna is our most recent graduate from high school. And I want to give her a little presentation to let her know that the church folk are thinking about her. And as she begins this new journey from high school into whatever you decide, take some time, think about it. And but I do want to make a presentation to her, and I want to present to her this Bible. It's an NIV Understanding the Faith Study Bible. And I had an opportunity to look through it, and I think it's going to be very helpful to you in your journey. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the most important thing. Keep faith in Him. And I want to present this to you on behalf of the St. Catherine's Corps. And it's nice to have your dad with us too this morning, visiting. So it's nice that he's a part of this as well. So here you go. It's for you. And God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. I want us to turn together to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to start at verse 18. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 18. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent will frustrate.' Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified." A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And may God bless his word this morning. What we're going to share together right now in a time of enrollment, in a time of dedication, and over the course of, again, the last number of weeks, we have had information classes, soldiership classes. We're at the completion of the classes. I ask the individuals if they have an interest or desire to be an adherent or a soldier of the Salvation Army. And out of that session, we have Lyle, who has said yes to an adherent of the Salvation Army here in St. Catharines. And I had two, Lisa and Deborah, who said yes to soldiership, to being a soldier here at the Corps in St. Catharines. I know that for them, they have put much thought and prayer into the decisions that they have and are making this morning. And I know that this morning, as a congregation, we will support these individuals in prayer as they support God through the Salvation Army. We're going to stand as a congregation together, and we're going to sing the first two verses of this song. And as we sing the first two verses of this song, I'm going to ask that Grace would come to take the flag, and then I would invite Lyle, Deborah, and Lisa to come and stand to my right this morning. So the flag will be to my left, and I ask that the soldiers will come to stand to my right. So let's stand as a congregation. We'll sing the first two verses of this song together. One of the things I usually ask at the beginning is, how are you doing? Doing okay? A little nervous maybe? No? A little? Well, it's nice to see you have family and friends supporting you this morning. Why don't you come a little closer? I always feel like I'm the bad guy here. I was afraid to come a little close. Now, my back is going to be this side. Sorry, I apologize. My back will be to you. Oh, yes, congregation, please sit. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, please sit. Please sit. Could be standing a while. Yeah, a little nervous, yeah. A little nervous, sure. But one of the challenges, of course, that I lay forth in our sessions is, it's not something that I'm asking you to do. It's not something that St. Catherine's is requiring of you to do. But it's a commitment, it's a relationship that you have with Jesus. And that's the important thing. And I do ask that in the decision that you're making today, it's in service to Him through the Salvation Army to be a witness, to be an example of His love and faithfulness. For those of you who may or may not know, of course, Deborah and Lyle are husband and wife. And I'm going to ask Lyle that you will stay for the duration of the service, if you don't mind, and just stand in support of Deborah after yes. As she makes her covenant to the Lord. So an inheritor is an individual who faithfully takes up his charge as a member of the Salvation Army. And so happens for St. Catherine's Corps. Lyle has decided that he wants to be more than just a friend of the Salvation Army, but to be an adherent of the Salvation Army. We're going to present him with the certificate in a moment, but on the back of the certificate is the conditions of an adherent, which says an adherent of the Salvation Army is not a member of any other religious body, must indicate their desire to be an adherent, of good character and standing. No question on that one, right? That one's good. An adherent of the Salvation Army agrees to support the work of the Salvation Army, to attend as regularly as possible the meetings of the Salvation Army, to have a Salvation Army officer, such as myself, conduct, whether it be marriages, dedications of children, and or funeral services, and to have his or her name entered on any religious census as an adherent of the Salvation Army. And when that question was posed to these three individuals, then, actually, Deborah's already an adherent, that she went through this a year ago, maybe? A little more than a year? Yeah. Could I get that certificate back? No? I need the frame. No? No. Yeah, right. But I know that this is very important, and it's a very important decision that you're making today, Lyle, to be an adherent of the Salvation Army. And so on behalf of the St. Catherine's Corps, we do welcome you as an adherent of the Salvation Army. I have it framed already. God bless you, Lyle. God bless you. Now, you'll just stand there now, look pretty for the remainder of this session. A soldier of the Salvation Army is an individual who decides in their own personal life that they just want to take things a little farther. I said to them jokingly that as an adherent, if I were to ask them to do something, they have the right to say no. But as a soldier, you have no right. If I ask, you do. As a soldier of the Salvation Army. It'll never get to that point. I'm sure you'll always give them the option of yes or no. But it's a step towards your spiritual growth within the Salvation Army to become a soldier within the Salvation Army. And this afternoon, I'm going to ask for Deborah and Lisa just to step a little further toward me, and we'll just have a little time together. And as I said, it is my privilege, it is my honor to stand before you both today and to receive you as soldiers of the Salvation Army, St. Catherine's Corps. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7 and 11 to 13 says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Be to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure, the fullness of Christ. All who wish to become soldiers of the Salvation Army are required to sign the Soldier's Covenant. In so doing, they testify that they worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. They desire to fulfill their membership of His church on earth as soldiers of the Salvation Army. They affirm their belief in the Bible as the Word of God and their acceptance of the Salvation Army's articles of faith. They declare that they will be responsive to the Holy Spirit and to seek to grow in grace. They will make the value of the kingdom of God standard for their lives showing Christ's integrity in their deeds, maintaining Christian ideals in their relationships. They will be faithful stewards in all they have and are. They will abstain from the use of all enslaving substances and harmful activities. They will be active in God's work both in sharing the gospel and in serving the needy. They will be true to the principles of the Salvation Army. They witness that they freely enter into this covenant, convinced that the love of Christ requires devotion of their lives to His service and for the salvation of the whole world. Do you each today declare in the presence of God and of this congregation that you undertake by the help of the Holy Spirit to live and to work as a true soldier of Jesus Christ and of the Salvation Army, according to the witnesses and promises you make this day? If so, please raise your right hand and say, I do. Deborah and Lisa, I charge you to keep the promises you have made this day, and by the grace of God, to be a blessing to the world and to the community that you live in. I encourage you to share openly for Christ, to give prayer a central place in your home and life, and as stewards of your time, abilities, and financial resources, to offer these to the Lord, recognizing this as the only adequate response to Christ's sacrifice. In the name of the Lord, whom we love and serve, I accept your declaration today and receive you as soldiers of the St. Catherine's Corps of the Salvation Army. God bless you both. I want to make a presentation to you both this morning. This will be the soldiers' covenant that they will take and put up on their wall in a very prominent place. God bless you, Lisa. To you. To you, Deborah. God bless you. There you are. I'd like for us to sing a song together, and I apologize, Quinn. I don't think I got it to you, but it's song 591. I couldn't tell you the tune. I Would Be Thy Holy Temple, sacred and indwelt by thee. Take thou my life, Lord. Sorry about that, Ed. I don't think I got it to you. Here we go. I would be thy holy temple. What I will ask at this time is that you would proceed to the front, kneel at the altar, and we'll have a prayer of dedication over the three of you this morning. I would be thy holy this morning, if there are family, friends, soldiers of the Salvation Army, if you would like to come and stand with me this morning in support of these three individuals, I give you that invitation to come, and we'll sing the second verse together, this song together. Seeking to mirror like for the congregation to stand with me, all of us stand together as we offer a prayer of dedication to service. God, our Father, we thank you today that you are God who is ever present, ever strengthening, ever encouraging. And Lord, here today, we have a solemn moment of reflection, of dedication, of commitment, of surrender to you. We thank you, Father, for the lives of these individuals who have taken the call of God upon their life, for Lyle as an adherent, for the faithfulness that he will show to you and to the Salvation Army, for Deborah and for Lisa, taking upon the call of soldiership within the Salvation Army. Lord, I'm reminded of the song that says, I'll be a soldier in God's great army, no turning back, no turning back. God, I pray that today that the lives of these individuals will reflect and mirror the image of God, so that family, friends, loved ones, neighbors, friends, colleagues will see the life of Jesus in and through them. Father, strengthen them, equip them today for service. Lord, we know that we live in an age where it's difficult to stand true to you. But God, I pray that in life, in our example, in our actions, in the deeds of the things we do and the words we say, that God, that will be an encouragement, a witness to the love of Jesus Christ in their lives. Father, we just pray for this congregation this morning. We pray, oh God, that if there are others who would like to be called of God to serve us in various ways, whether it be an adherent, whether it be a soldier, whether it be a call to officership, God, I just pray that for these moments this morning, as we take time to reflect, we would know that it's right now in these moments is just between us and God. So, Father, I pray that we will take this time, that we will talk with you, we will share with you our joys, our sorrows, and that, God, that we will celebrate today in your presence the joy of service and serving you. Lord, just bless us, we pray, again for Lisa, for Deborah, and for Lyle. Lord, use them to extend your kingdom here at the St. Catherine's Core. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing the first verse. Let's sing Time, Health, and Talents together. Congregation may be seated. Now, this is not a requirement for soldiership, but I did encourage both Lisa and Deborah to share a testimony with us this morning. Little hesitancy, but some nervousness. They will come now and share their testimonies with us. God bless you, Deborah.
Thank you, Carl, for that offertory today. A bloom where I planted. Major Don asked me to share my testimony, and I asked him if it was from birth. And he said, oh no, just your journey to the Army this day, I kind of assumed. But I have to start with, I was born in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where my roots are deeply rooted, and I came into the world at the Salvation Army Grace Maternity Hospital in Halifax in 1954, so you can do the math. I was born into a Canadian Forces family, the branch then known as the Army. Not the Air Force, as my father would say, not the Navy, but the Army. and the branches didn't become integrated until February 1st, 1968. That's for you, David, a little bit of history that you probably already knew. But reversed in 2014 back to the Canadian Armed Forces, the Royal Canadian Air Force and the Royal Canadian Navy. My dad never lived to see that day, but he knew that proud men and women of each branch would see the reversal and the return to the former rank and names and designations for the Navy and the Army. So the military model of the Army has a natural comfort level, as in rank and jargon and the call for service. My first Salvation Army service was the wedding of my Aunt Barb when she married a Salvationist and I was her flower girl at age 3. And whenever we were home for a weekend or a week to visit Nan and Gramps, Barb and her children would come on Sunday afternoons after their Sunday school and timbrel practice. I loved to watch Cousin Kathy twirl and play hers. And Annette, that's why your timbrel group has been such a blessing and joy to me this past year. Postings took my family to Kingston, Washington, D.C., back to Halifax, Fredericton, New Brunswick, or Amokto, New Brunswick, from where my dad served a year in Vietnam. And each of these moves, a home church, was my parents' first order of settling into a community. And it was their nature to go and find a church to be involved in. Unlike many of you, I am not dyed-in-the-wool, a dyed-in-the-wool denominational girl. I came to know the Lord in DVBS in Nashwauksis, New Brunswick, and I was brought up to appreciate the declaration of God's word and its authority, be it in the United Pentecostal, the Nazarene Church in the U.S., and over the years, the United Baptist, the Fellowship Baptist, the Associated Gospel Church of Canada, and Harvest Church. Our move to London in my teen years, my family were regular volunteers conducting monthly chapel programs with the Salvation Army, men's social services. My dad was a lay preacher, and our family quartet would sing accompanied by my dad on his accordion or the piano. And I would later meet a Baptist who attended the regular afternoon Sunday school program at the Citadel on Geneva Street, and was to be the first non-Salvationist to earn the Salvation Army General's Award for Boy Scouts under the mentorship of Lyle's beloved Bax Chater. After we were married, I was recruited to be a Salvation Army Girl Guide leader for 14 years by my sister-in-law, Ruth Teekle, and Captain Joanne Fernal. It was then I signed my first Salvation Army pledge. I promised to abstain from the use of intoxicating liquor, tobacco, gambling, and all other injurious habits. I went on to earn my camper's license at Camp Selkirk over 3 summers, where I worked and enjoyed tomfoolery with our on-site nurse, Jan Ritchie, and Girl Guide leader, Gwen Jensen. In 1989, a co-worker, Judy Jones, in the flower shop I was working as a designer, said the Salvation Army is looking for an activity director at Eventide Home, and it sounded like a glorified Girl Guide leader to her. Always up for a challenge, I applied, knowing I didn't want to work full-time with our young family, but Major Harold Rideout took a chance on me, and I worked for him for 14 years. And next would be my affiliation with Major Grace, serving Eventide Home for her last 3 years before her retirement, endeared her to our family. Ethan, Bethany, Caleb, she didn't miss any of their births, even with traveling back and forth to Calgary. Major Woods, Majors Donna and David Pitcher expanded my opportunities to serve the Lord through to the end of my 21 years at the Army at Eventide. And then COVID hit. And we went online for everything, shopping, communication, worship services. Major Grace and my dear friend Judy Cleavely, our daughter Tracy, rounded out Lyle and my 5-person bubble, sharing time and meals together, plus couch church, coffee in hand, comfy attire, casual, no effort church. I became complacent in my worship. Grateful for my ladies' Bible study to zoom into my home and keep me connected somewhat with the outside world, which I thank Barbara Lane and Bev Howard this morning, who are here to share this morning. Tracy did our grocery shopping. Isolation became my comfort zone, a petri dish for complacency, as close to the edge of giving up corporate anything. Grace, who for the last 15 years sat with us in church, with her adopted family, with her kidlets, my grandchildren, whom she has watched grow, responded to my lethargy. She was going home to church, and I would just have to do whatever I had to do. And I began to think if she could come to church with us for the family setting, I could at least step out in faith that the cocoon I was creating in my mind wasn't me and it wasn't good. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing kept coming to mind. And from the third or fourth week of returning to corporate worship, I began to realize how close I came to giving in to my fears. Several of you welcomed and embraced my family with your love and concern and involved us in serving. Roger Cranford showing Tracy and Lyle the ropes of the sound system, Major Don including us in the music schedule, and the Evergreen team sharing the kitchen and the program with me, and my WOW Bible study sisters in Christ. My life is still steeped in concerns for the lost and those I love. But I have a spiritual family through Christ, and I am blessed. My father never encouraged my brother nor me to join the army, but I believe today he would have been very pleased and blessed by my choice to continue to serve in the Salvation Army. I am thankful for Jesus' life in me, and I pray the journey as a soldier molds and shapes me to be more like Jesus, to glorify his name and be part of the blessing of this Corps to our community in leading souls to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and continue, Gwen, this amazing journey until he, as he comes for me or calls me home. I love you all.
Hi. I'm not as well versed as she is, had it all down there and everything. I did write out about 8 pages and that got me up to around 7 or 8 years old. So I started out at the Salvation Army when I was dedicated. My mom, my dad, I had an older brother, and I had a sister after that, and we were all right. My dad was lead singer in one of the coolest bands in town. My brother carries on that tradition down there now today. And this little picture blew up. This little girl that was going to Sunday school now at the Salvation Army was doing it with divorced parents. And it hurt. My dad wasn't around much, so I became the other parent. When I got dizzy being a child one minute and a parent the next minute, I couldn't do both. So at the age of 12, I quit school. Took care of my siblings. I house cleaned. Whatever I made, I gave my mother half. I took the siblings for French fries and gravy with the other half. And that's what I did there. We were very poor, but we had lots of love in the house. My mom must have. She was married 4 or 5 times. I sort of lost count. But she was a sweetheart of a person. She was also a practicing witch for half of my childhood, where she would do all the witchy things, and we had the haunted houses. So all that is going on now. I'm about 8 or 9 here, I guess. Well, I backed up. I said I quit school at 12. When I was 14, my stepfather tried something inappropriate. My mother didn't believe me, so I moved out. Ooh. After living in my boyfriend's mother's house for about a month, I thought, oh, look at me. Dear God, look at me. I'm 15 and I'm shacked up already. Look at me. So, needless to say, that I wouldn't stay shacked up, so we got married. I had to have a trial, because your parents can only sign when you're 16 and up. I was still 15. I got married. I was the last one to leave the hall. I stayed and scrubbed the floors. We had a Fonz-like theme. So after the wedding dress came off, on went the black corduroys and the white t-shirts. Everybody was dressed like the Fonz. But I stayed and I cleaned that hall and I was like, this is real, this isn't even a dream. So my marriage lasted. I was with him from 13 to 18. My daughter, I have a daughter. She's 44. I was 16. And thank God that I did, because it was all a plan, because I could have no more. I lost two babies, and then I could have no more. I had surgery at 25. Around 20 to 35, 40, I worked every kind of bar there is going. Country bar, rock bars, jazz bars, every kind of bar there is going. God put me in a lot of people's paths, and a lot of people in my path. The people that took me to church when I was a kid, I'm so ever grateful. And the lady that owned the store, they were so religious and they loved me so much. And it's them that took me to my Bible camp. I also was their ironing lady, so I hate ironing still because I was so small and I'd go in that basket and be so full of laundry to iron. So now I'm up there a little bit. Today, I'm married for 34 years. We have lots of issues right now. My husband has a blood clot in each lung. The one on the left lung is somewhat blocking the blood flow to his lungs. My daughter was just admitted to PCU, Progressive Care Unit. She has a really bad bout of pneumonia. And I live my life in the now. I don't know what I'm doing this afternoon because I can't. I get in with them thoughts, you know, the thoughts that get in your head. So I stay busy. I come and volunteer at the church. I go for tea. And I try to stay busy because along with everything else, I have a grocery list of health problems myself. When I was always sick, I guess. And then I had to retire from Canada Post. I was a supervisor at Canada Post, and I couldn't do it anymore because I was riddled with chronic pain. So there's not a day in 30 years that I haven't been in pain. It's manageable now. I was in bed for years back in the beginning, but I go every other week and I get needles and I just keep going. People say, how do you do it? I don't, he does. He does. You know, I prayed and I prayed to quit smoking. Never thought I could do it. He made it a walk in the park. Wherever I was at, my lowest of lows and my highest of highs, God's been with me. I still won't walk on the crack on the sidewalk because they used to say, you break God's dishes or you break God's back or something if you walked on the cracks of the sidewalks. That was a Down East thing. But without God in my life, I wouldn't be here. I would not be here. There's not a doubt about it. And he put me here to help people. For 10 years, I ran depression and anxiety groups and anger management groups all on my own time through an outfit called Consumer Survivors Initiative. And that helped me greatly. And I have to live life just as it is right now. Because if I think of everything back then, I mean, I'd love to tell you the story, but it's a long story of the witch stuff and this stuff that I've seen. And, you know, my aunt sitting over there, she was a babysitter at the time, and she was scared to death when my houses were haunted. So maybe another time I can go there. But right now, I'd asked if you would keep me in your prayers, my husband. Hopefully they can do something with the blood clots in his lungs. And my daughter will come around, so thank you for your time. Sorry for the tears. Oh, and I do cry in church all the time, I'm sorry. When I first started coming back to church about 15 years ago, I was going to stop coming because I don't know when I'm going to cry. It's a song, it's a word, somebody said something, and then the tears are there. But that's why I'm crying. It's not necessarily bad tears. It's just the Spirit hits me in a way, and that's what it does. So thank you.
Thank you, guys, and congratulations. just going to do a little plug on Senior Soul Trip for me. If you want to be one, I'm sure Don will talk to you after. part of Senior Soldiers, and when I became a Senior Soldier, we chose it not just for us, but for God and for others. We have a duty to serve others as Christians and a duty to serve God and be like Jesus. That being said, the band is going to play We Have Come Into His House, and I'll finish the line for you. It's, "We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him." I'm right. Just confirmed. So I would encourage you as you leave today, think about everything you've learned today. Think about this piece, though. It doesn't necessarily have to be today. Just wherever you go this week, you can plug whatever you want into where it says his house. If you want to say, "We have come into McDonald's and gathered in his name to worship him," you can. We are called to serve him, not just at church, but everywhere. So as you leave today, I would just encourage you to think about this piece. Think about wherever you are, how you can serve God with whatever you're doing.
I'd like for us to stand together. I want us to sing the first verse and chorus of this song, "I bring to thee my heart to feel. I feel how weak I am, but still Christ is all, yes, all in all." I bring to thee my heart to feel. I bring to thee my heart to feel. I know how weak I am, but still to thee for help I call. In joy or grief, to live or die, for earth or heaven, this is my cry. be thou my all in all. Christ is all, yes, all in all. My Christ is all in all. You may be seated. I'm glad, Ed, that I didn't give you any notes for my sermon this morning. I found myself at 3 a.m. this morning rewriting my sermon in my head. I awoke this morning and God said to me, Don, I have something else for you to say. I don't have it on paper. Some of the notes I have, but for the most part, I do not have. My thoughts go back to, I guess, the beginning of a couple of weeks ago when we gathered together to celebrate 140 years of the Salvation Army in St. Catharines. It was a blessed weekend. It was a tremendous time of worshiping together and praising God for what He had done in those past 140 years. It challenged me to think about what about the next 140 years? What about the next year, the next 5 years, the next 10 years? God is worthy to be praised. God has done so much for us. He continues to do so much for us. This past week there's been numerous times of having opportunities to get together and to celebrate accomplishments. Over this past week, whether it be graduating from high school, whether it be graduating from university, whether it be standing here this morning and being enrolled and recognized as adherents and soldiers of the Salvation Army, there is so much for us to be thankful for today. God is good. And He's not good some of the time. God is good all the time. And I began to think at 3 o'clock this morning, how do we measure the church? How do we measure our relationship individually, corporately, as a group of people within the church? There's man's way of measurement. There's God's way of measurement. There's man's standards, and there are God's standards. There's human influences, and then there's the God influence. How do we today measure the success or failures of who we are as men and women in Christ and the Salvation Army within St. Catharines? Throughout Scripture, where we are reminded of who we are in Christ Jesus. We are reminded that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are reminded that we are Christ ambassadors. We are reminded that we are His temple. We are reminded this morning that we are instruments to be used for His glory. We are His temple. I would be thy holy temple. I would be thy holy temple. Use me, Lord. Use me for thy glory. The Salvation Army in St. Catharines has seen much success over the course of these last number of years. But we can't measure our success on what has happened over the last 140 years and have the expectancy that what has happened will continue forward in the happening for God. We have to be a people who are doing for Jesus. All of us individually have been asked or have been called by God to do for Him. So that when we boast, we don't boast in ourselves, we boast in the glory of God. I believe that this morning that the Salvation Army in St. Catharines has been around for 140 years because we have focused on Christ. He has been the central focus in all that we have done and prayerfully in all that we continue to do. Our focus needs to be on Jesus. It's easy to stray away. It's easy to look to other sources. It's easy to look to other individuals. It's easy to look to other books and theologies. But our eyes need to be fixed on Jesus first and foremost. I believe that the success of the St. Catherine's Corps as we continue to move forward has to be on our understanding of who we are in Him. We are disciples. We have been discipled. We have to disciple people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus to you this morning? Who is Jesus to you? Is He someone that's talked about? Is He someone that's mentioned on Sunday? What does He mean to you on Monday through Saturday? What kind of relationship do you have with Him from Monday to Saturday? I like to think that we as individuals, are godly people. I would that others might see the marks of Jesus in me. So that when individuals see me, they see Jesus. Do friends, family members, colleagues see Jesus in you? Now, these questions I were asking myself this morning. And I'm asking you these questions this morning. Is Jesus seen through you? For my three children, one for whom still attends the church, the other two do not. But do they see Jesus in me? Do they see Jesus in me? I like to think that we have the motto that says the world for Jesus. I'll do my part. I'll do my part. I like to believe that the Salvation Army has and will continue to be an influence in not only the community of St. Catharines, but where you live, whether it be Niagara Falls, whether it be in Welland, wherever you live, that the influence will be very evident in your life. I stand here this morning and I ponder and I reflect upon my own encounter with God. And how over these years God has challenged me, tested me, blessed me. Now in my mind, how He's failed me. I have pondered this in my mind and in my heart to know that I stand before you this morning as an individual, weak, frail, but dependent upon the strength of the Lord. And I believe this morning that as we continue to move forward in the grace of God, through the grace of God, that for you, for I, for all of us together, the challenges we have, the rewards we will receive, will not only benefit and influence us as an individual, but our church and our community as well. I keep thinking about the history book, and I keep thinking about that date in 1884, October the 2nd, when Captain Hunt stepped out in faith in St. Catharines and began the work of the Salvation Army, influencing the world for Jesus. Well, here we are. What are we, June 23rd? Is that right? Am I right with the date?
Yes.
Of 2024. Are we stepping out for Jesus this morning? We had an act of commitment here this morning where individuals said, I'm stepping out for Jesus. I'm covenanting myself. I'm pledging myself to be a soldier, to be an adherent within the Salvation Army. Many of us have stepped out. But are we stepping out further in our relationship and in our call and in our responsibility to serve, to live, to love the Lord? There's an old chorus that says, I don't care what church you belong to, just as long as for Calvary you stand. I don't care how old you are. I believe this morning all of us can step out for Jesus. All of us can be doing for Jesus. And you know what was amazing? I was thinking about that 3 o'clock this morning. Step out for Jesus. We all can step out for Jesus. None of us have to boast in great teachings. None of us have to boast in great preaching. None of us have to boast in great praying. Sometimes we place ourselves in a position where we say, I can't or I won't because someone can do it better. Or I won't or I can't because I just feel that in myself, I can't do it. But we can. We can because Jesus gives us his strength when our strength is weak. We need to partner together, friends, this morning. Now, I know I'm saying this on the eve of the summer, actually, I guess we're into the summer right now, as of the 20th of June. But what I'm sharing with you this morning perhaps can be something that should wait till September when we start the programming and so on and so forth. But I think it's very challenging maybe to share it together with you today so that you can ponder in your heart over the summer, what can I do for Jesus? What can I do for the Salvation Army here in St. Catharines? How can I be useful and effective so that he will be glorified through me? I'll do, Lord. I'll do, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. Now, he might use me as a tool to ask of you to do, but it's he who is asking, Jesus. And in response, we could say, I'll be, Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. I thought about the theme of the anniversary weekend. And it has been an amazing journey. But I like to think more of it than just a journey, but a destination. A destination. We've all set out on journeys to get to somewhere, our destination. Jesus said, come, be my disciples. Yes, being a disciple is a lifelong journey, but it brings us to a destination. It brings us to a place of rest. It brings us to a place of hope in him. The call of Jesus upon our lives is not an easy one. It's challenging, but rewarding. Our faithfulness to God in the journey brings us to the destination that one day we will be where he is. that we will stand where he is, that we will walk hand to hand with Jesus. Isn't that a marvelous thought that one day in our faithfulness to him here on earth, that one day we will stand with him, co-equals with him in glory? Let's be in a relationship this morning with one another. But let's be in a relationship, most importantly, with Jesus Christ. I thought about the doctrines of the Salvation Army. You know that within the Salvation Army, there are 11 doctrines. We believe. And we go through the 11 doctrines. There are several I wills of the Salvation Army. If you want to look at the covenant later, it's there. 11 doctrines, several I wills with respect to a relationship with Jesus Christ as a soldier within the Salvation Army. I thought about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given by Moses as the law to the Israelites. And to this very day, the Ten Commandments are very effective and useful and have a part and a basis to play. And this is where I scribbled a little note. Four of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship to God, while the other six deal with our relationship with people. Think about that. When you have an opportunity, look at the Ten Commandments. Four deal with a relationship with God. Six deal with a relationship with other people. The Christian life, my life this morning, your life this morning as a Christian should be an exciting journey. We should be happy for the Lord in service. And we should show that joy of the Lord in everything we do and in every person we meet. I want to say this morning, and I'll conclude with this morning. God doesn't need us to be perfect. He needs us to be available. Let me say that again. God doesn't need us to be perfect. He just needs us to be available. We sang a song before the enrollment. Here I am, Lord. In these moments, and we're going to reflect just for a couple of moments. I know the morning is getting away from us. Perhaps we're feeling a little warm right now. But as we reflect in these next couple of moments, I want us to think about what Jesus said to his disciples in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus tells his disciples, he said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He doesn't call us to be perfect, but he will work perfectly through those who are available. I'm going to ask you right now, are you available this morning in service for Jesus? I will be bold enough to say, yes, you are. But I can't speak for you. That's between you and God this morning. But I want you to think about that over these next few months, because I know many of us are going to be going here and there and everywhere else. Perhaps there's a message that we'll need to revisit again in September. But nonetheless, be available. Be available for God. I believe this morning there's always room for growth. I believe there's also room for improvement. I know that there will be adversity in our life. But God is faithful. God is faithful. So I want us to sing the chorus or the song together. It's going to come up on the screen. Here I am, Lord. No, I'm sorry, it's not the one. How can I better serve thee, Lord? Thou who hast done so much for me, faltering and weak my labor has been, oh, that my life may tell for thee, here at the cross in the sacred hour, here at the source of reviving power, helpless indeed. We can come with our imperfections this morning. Like I said, he's not calling for us to be perfect. He's calling for us to be available. So I say this morning, Helpless indeed, I come with my need. Lord, for thy service, fit me, I plead. Let's sing that first verse and chorus together this morning. Together as a congregation. We're going to use this third verse as our benediction this morning. So I'm not going to ask the band to come up and take their place this morning. But as our benediction, the third verse says, strength for my weakness, Lord, impart. Sight for my blindness, give to me. Faith for my doubting, Lord, I would crave. That I may serve thee worthily. And perhaps this morning, no better course in leaving this place this morning is the refrain here at the cross in this sacred hour. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the blessings of today, for the faithfulness of today. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people. And God, I pray that for this week, God, you will protect, you will strengthen, you will guide, you will use us in our little corner of the world. Lord, bless us this week. Strengthen us this week. I know next week there'll be those of us who are away, traveling, different places. God, protect us. I pray for Major Grace as she presents the word next Sunday. God, may you strengthen her and those who will help her in the service next week. Lord, just bless us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with me as we sing the third verse. Sure.